We have arrived at the last chapter, chapter 20, Truth Unfolding. From the book The Master Speaks by Joel S. Goldsmith. Let's just jump in. We cannot have a consciousness of truth and a demonstration. Nor can we have a consciousness of truth before the demonstration. Nor the demonstration before the consciousness of truth. First, there must be the consciousness of truth, and then, with it, comes the demonstration, because all demonstration is truth itself made evident. The infinite invisible becomes visible, the Word becomes flesh. There is no time lapse or space lapse between the Word and the flesh. The Word becomes flesh instantaneously. Truth becomes demonstration instantaneously because demonstration is truth manifested. Nothing takes place in our outer world except as the manifestation and expression of our consciousness. And if truth is not active in our consciousness, then our demonstration is not the activity of truth. If our thought remains barren of truth, no matter how fruitful in material things it may be, it cannot bring forth spiritual fruitage. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. If we sow to the spirit, we reap the fruitage of the spirit. Let us remember this. Our individual consciousness actually is God consciousness. God is our only consciousness. Therefore, all demonstration, all manifestation is God consciousness expressed. Wow, he's really going over this over and over, the same thing. It takes our knowing of this truth, however, to make that evident. All harmony in our experience is the direct result of the activity of truth in our consciousness. And this activity of truth does not consist merely in making statements of truth, or in vain repetitions of truth, or in repeated affirmations of truth. That is not the activity of truth in consciousness. Now think about that. We must have the activity of truth in consciousness in order to demonstrate that truth, in order for that truth to become evident. However, the activity of truth does not consist of making statements of truth, or in vain repetitions of truth, or in repeated affirmations of truth. All of that is on the mental level. We must go deeper. An activity of truth. What is truth? A long time ago I pondered this. I am the truth, says the Christ. The Christ of your being. I am the truth. So an activity of truth in consciousness is an activity of Christ in consciousness. That's the truth. And so if you want a demonstration, somebody called you and asked for healing, you can't, well, you can, but repeating statements or repeating affirmations of truth All of that is up in the head. But when you come to the end of that, and you sit still, and you attain that silence, you find the silence that's within, then something moves within you. And that something is spirit, or the activity of truth in consciousness. Okay. It's a deeper level than just thinking. The activity of truth in consciousness is an awareness of the truth of being. As we learn to dwell on God in its infinite forms and varieties, on God as omnipresent, and especially on God as individual consciousness, your consciousness and mine, then the infinity of God appears. See, the activity of truth in consciousness is an awareness of the truth of being. I and the Father are one. The infinite way of life is actually an entrance into the fourth dimension of life, into spiritual consciousness. The personal sense of life gives way to universal life. In the personal sense of life, each of us is living his own experience, and each of us is interested in finding some way, materially, mentally, or spiritually, to enrich that experience. But the infinite way of life does not include any such self-seeking. The infinite way of life becomes our way of life when we enter the spiritual path. On this path, we do not live for ourselves. We are no longer concerned with our own particular demonstrations. We have left all that behind in the realization of the great truth that God has created us in its image and likeness for its own purpose. The divine universal consciousness has manifested itself individually as you and as me for its glory, for its purpose, and for its use. The greatest sin in all the world for those on the spiritual path is desire. Even the desire for good, since this path is the realization of grace. And you know, that's what Buddha said. Desire is the problem. All that the Father hath is mine, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, by grace, by an inner power. In that there is no need to desire anything or anybody. There's no need to move here or to move there. If we rest in this inner peace, if we learn to live in this inner consciousness of all that I have is thine, and it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, strangely enough, whatever needs to be done is done. The sale that should be made is made. The purchase that should be made is made. The move that should be made is made, but always without taking thought, without worrisome planning. That does not leave us with a life of inaction or a do-nothing life. On the contrary, it is a most vital life, since every day, in fact every hour of every day, the Spirit is moving us on and on and on to greater degrees of unfoldment, moving us into more important places, greater activities, and more significant work. Sometimes people are critical of the fact that the infinite way stresses the handling of error. If God is all, why don't you leave it alone and forget this error business? But those very people often fail when they try to heal with God is all and God is love. It is important to understand the nature of error and to know how to handle it. Nobody would experience sin, disease, or lack if it were not for some claim of a power apart from God. Actually, there is no power apart from God. Then why is anyone ever sick? Why does anyone ever die? It is because there is a negative force operating as law, which pulls us into sin, disease, lack, limitation, and war. It is only when we understand what it is that we are able to nullify it. What is this law? What is this claim of a self apart from God, which operates as sin, disease, lack, and limitation? Actually, it is our white poodle, which presents itself to us through hypnotic suggestion or world belief. Where it began, we do not know. I only know that in this world of ours, there is something operating that results in sin and disease, lack, limitation, false desires, false appetites, and ultimately death itself. It claims to be present as a power of disease, a power of death, a power of infection or contagion. But through this revelation of truth, we understand and know that horrible as the appearance may be, actually, it is a non-existent white poodle. It is the non-existent snake in the rope. It is our recognition of that fact that results in healing. Never forget that. Never forget that you are not in the business of overcoming disease or death. Your work is to understand that what appears as sin, disease, or death is nothing but an illusory picture caused by the universal belief of a self apart from God. And your conviction of the illusory nature of the picture is the healing power. Peace, the Christ peace, is that state of peace which recognizes that the absolute fulfillment of God is here where I am and where you are. We do not have to look up or out for anything or anybody. But remember, as the poet John Burroughs said, "My own shall come to me." We have only to sit and wait, and our own will come to us. While we are sitting and waiting, of course, we should also be working. The work that we do is the work that is given us to do each moment of each day, whatever its name, whatever its nature, whatever call may come. We do that work without desiring that it be some other work, without desiring to be in some other place. Let us give up all sense of desire, except the desire to realize God. That is the only legitimate desire we should have. The desire to realize God. Okay, so far he's saying that any desire other than to realize God is a sin. All right, this next sentence is something. Our life at this stage of unfoldment should become impersonal. So that little Bill Skiles life, that little Mary Jones life, that little Samuel Goldsmith life, those are personal lives. And we have said that we are going to walk the spiritual path. And that means we have to let go of a personal sense of life and come into the actual experience that Christ liveth my life. It's an impersonal life. The center is Christ, not Bill. Now, sometimes there's a feeling of oneness so strong that Christ is operating as Bill. All right. We should be willing at this point to accept my grace or my peace. That peace which comes from the Christ rather than the peace that the world can give us. The world can still give us a kind of peace. It probably could surround us with more of the world's goods. That would be one kind of peace that the world might give. At our stage, however, we should be able to say, that is not the peace I am seeking. I am looking for the peace which comes of the Christ. I am looking for that peace which comes by grace, not by effort, desire, mental manipulation, trickery, treachery, lying, or deceit, but that which comes to me as the grace of God, as the gift of God. We should be in the world, but not of it. We should enjoy anything and anybody that is in the world. But in enjoying them, we are not to enter into the intrigues of the world, or to employ the methods of the world. It is not necessary to use the world's weapons. It is not necessary to use the world's ways. We can achieve the harmony of our existence without using the weapons of the world or the ways of the world. All that we are to do, our only purpose in living, is to show forth the effects or the absoluteness of the power of this principle. And that is why we are living. That is why we are here. We are not here simply to earn a living, to eat three meals a day, to go to sleep at night, or to raise a family. All those human activities are incidental to the main purpose, which is to show forth God as the central theme of the universe, God as the principle of all existence, God as the glory of individual life. So we're here to glorify God. That is our purpose, and that is the purpose of the statement, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." There is no room in spiritual living, in the infinite way of life, for personal glorification. There is no room for believing that one person has any power that is denied to another. The power is universal. The power is omnipresent. The power is I am. All that is necessary for this power to become evident as our existence is our realization of that truth, our consecration to this purpose. This all leads to the fourth dimension, which is spiritual consciousness. It leads into that realm where we begin to realize this great truth of being. I am the life and the light of the world. I am the life, eternal. I am truth. I am the bread. I am the water. I am the Father. I am the Son. I am the Holy Spirit. I, in my infinite being, am all that God is. Since God has conferred upon me and upon you its own being, its own glory, its own life, as my life and as your life, this is a universal truth. I am the divine substance of the universe. I am the substance out of which the world is formed. I am divine consciousness, God is the only reality, the only consciousness, the only I, and I am that. And I am that in all its glory, in all its perfection. I am the mind of the universe. I am the soul of the universe. I am the infinite individuality of all being. Therefore, my universe contains only God in its infinite form, God in its infinite variety, God, my consciousness, appearing to me as the harmony of my daily experience. If I were not all that, then there would be an I and a me. But I and the Father are one. Yes, and there is no me. The wonderful part of this work is that those who are ready to receive this unfoldment through you are always being prepared for you. In due time, they will come to you as patients or as students, and you will reveal to them that which is already established as their consciousness. Never will you be able to give them anything new or anything you know, which they do not already know. Many, many times in my experience, I have tried to share this truth with people who were not ready for it. And I can tell you that they were never able to understand it. They were just as much unaware of its meaning when they left as when they came. Only those who had already been prepared through the unfolding of their own consciousness were able to say, "I received something from the experience." Yes, they did, because the bonfire had already been prepared within them, and all I did was to strike the match. Good is the effect of the activity of truth in consciousness. He's going to hammer that home again and again and again. The activity of truth in consciousness. But remember, that activity in truth is not statements, not affirmations, not thoughts, not words. I am the truth. And the activity of I within you, that's the truth. The activity of that truth within you manifests. All of the good we expect in our experience from now on, we should expect to come to us as the result of the activity of truth in our consciousness. That gives new meaning to the statement, "The kingdom of God is within you," or to the truth that all good must unfold from within our own being. Do you see how foolish it would be to sit down and say, "Oh, the kingdom of God is within me," and then stop right there with that? It would be useless, even were you to repeat those statements 100 times. Do you see how foolish it would be just to say, "Well, all my good must unfold from within me"? It cannot unfold from within if there is only spiritual barrenness within. The kingdom of God is within you, and all good must unfold from within your own consciousness. But please be sure that you understand what that means. All good unfolds from within your consciousness of truth. The activity of truth in your consciousness appears outwardly as the harmony of your daily experience. It appears as your health, as your wealth, as your companionship. It appears as your wife, as your husband, or as your friend. Since salvation is individual, it is up to you as an individual to bring forth the amount of harmony that you would like to experience. By the measure of the activity of truth in your consciousness, repeating truth, reading truth, hearing truth is not the activity of truth in your consciousness, you see? It's not a mental experience. Something else is required. In the beginning days of my walk on this path, I thought an activity of truth in my consciousness was repeating statements of truth or scripture over and over again throughout the day. And so I might say, "Thy grace is my sufficiency," 200 or 300 times in a day, and hoped that that would manifest. And it did. In the beginning, it was really something. I think that's how God hooks us in. In the early days, God seems to hook us in by having miracles happen. But as we progress and walk this path, more and more we see really how little I know. It's like my meditations. I can't get all wordy and full of words and thoughts when I sit down to meditate. I sit down to meditate and only one word comes: God. It even sounds funny, doesn't it? God. Well, that's where I start in my meditations. God. Every time you attend a lecture, every time you attend a class that is based on spiritual truth, you are making truth active and keeping truth active in your consciousness. But those are only avenues leading up to the final one, and that is the actual activity of truth as your consciousness. At that stage of unfoldment, you ponder these statements of truth. You meditate on them. You see through the letter of them to the spirit. When you read the Bible and you read that God saved out a remnant of 7,000 for Elijah, instead of saying, "Wasn't that a blessing for Elijah?" you read it again and again until you find that the principle is that God, my individual consciousness, has likewise saved out for me all that is necessary. The complete number, the completeness of everything necessary for my unfoldment, that is the activity of truth as consciousness. So, keep truth active in consciousness. God is the one and only consciousness, and it is infinite. Out of that infinity appears the infinite form and variety of this universe. But God is individual consciousness, which means that God is your consciousness. Therefore, your individual consciousness is infinite. Out of that consciousness must appear your daily experience. And that experience must be infinitely good, infinitely harmonious, joyous, successful, and prosperous. Unless you can realize, acknowledge, and claim God as your own consciousness, you cannot claim an infinity of good in your experience. Unless you can understand that God appears as your individual consciousness, you can never bring forth the fullness of eternality and immortality, or the infinitude of divine being. Out of your consciousness springs your universe. That's a pretty amazing statement. Out of your consciousness springs your universe. You don't like something that's going on? Change your consciousness. And since God is your consciousness, your universe is infinite, and it is infinitely good. It becomes your duty and your privilege to remind yourself of this truth every single day. It is necessary that you recognize each day that because of the infinite nature of your consciousness, there is no law outside of your consciousness. There's no belief outside of your consciousness which can enter to defile or make a lie. Nothing can act upon you for good or for evil except God. God appearing as your individual consciousness, and this becomes a law onto your universe. It makes you the master of your destiny through God-given dominion. It is not that I of myself am anything, but through God all dominion is given to me over everything on the earth, beneath the earth, and above the earth. All things are possible to me through Christ, through the truth of the realization of God as my real being. Unless you make this a law unto yourself by conscious realization, you permit the world beliefs to handle you, to act upon you as if they really were laws. They are not laws. They are beliefs, world beliefs. They are universal beliefs, and they will foist themselves upon you if you are not alert, if you do not pray without ceasing, if you do not make truth active in your own consciousness. So, what do we know? We know that truth active in your consciousness manifests as your universe, but your universe is infinitely good. Now, what is this activity of truth and consciousness, and how do we get a hold of it and practice it and watch it? How do we live as a beholder? Well, this whole book covers that topic. Keep truth active in your consciousness. This is your defense against the thoughts and things of this world. Remember, individual or collective thought is not power in and of itself. It is power only as you, through ignorance, permit it to be a power. Scripture does not tell you that there are no evils in the world, but it tells you that these evils will not come nigh you if you live and move and have your being in this divine consciousness of truth. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he that dwelleth in this secret and sacred consciousness of truth, finds in it a sure defense, a fortress, and a rock. This truth entertained in your consciousness becomes the rock on which you stand. It becomes the fortress, and so the Word of God becomes your defense. To each of us a work is given. Yes. You know, even the things that he tells us lead us out of a personal sense of life and into an impersonal life. We are told that we are here to glorify God, not to glorify ourselves. That's an impersonal self. We are told to live life as a beholder, not make decisions and manipulate things with our mind. No, we are here to live as a beholder, watching this presence live itself. And that is impersonal. We're watching an impersonal life. The Word of God is your sure defense, but it is your offense also. The Word of God becomes your very life, your very being. You do not need this Word to be steel-lined. You do not need this Word in an underground bunker or tunnel. You do not need this Word in concrete. You need this Word established in your consciousness. You need this Word of God with you from morning to night and from night to morning. You need its assurance and reassurance continuously. You need the association of those who are on this path, and that's associating with all of you. You need the cooperation of all of those who are traveling in the same direction in which you find yourself going. And you need to remember that because God is infinite in being, God has established you in such a way that you can show forth your infinitude without infringing on anyone else's good. You do not need to hate, fear, or knock or compete with another person. God, active as your consciousness, and God manifesting as the consciousness of your own being, is your demonstration, and because of that, you will always be successful in your particular work and in your particular way. To each of us is given some work. As you enter this fourth dimension, as your consciousness is opened for light and guidance, ultimately that inner guidance directs you to your work. Yes, I've had that happen several times. For one, it is in one field, and for another it is in another field. Each has his own individual work, a work which can be carried on wherever we are. When the need comes for us to be in some other location, circumstances take us to that place. We need never seek it any more than we need to desire it. The whole message of the fourth dimension, or the infinite way, is this: I have meat to eat that ye know not of. I have a wellspring of living waters within, not water that the world gives. No, this water comes from the spirit, it comes from the soul. I have meat, a substance that ye know not of. And that meat is my very consciousness. No longer do I have to look out to man whose breath is in his nostrils, or even to a man's book, or to man's scriptures. Those are given to me only as guides to help me reach the center of my own being, where I can say, I can rest and say, Father, I am home. Now I will live by grace. It's really interesting. It's quite fantastic to live by grace, because you find out that God is love. Things come to you that you couldn't possibly have planned. And there's nothing left to say except, thank you, Father. This inner peace, this inner substance, I have meat the world knows not of. I do not have to strive for the world's goods or strive for the world's recognition. Right where I am, all that God is, I am. The place whereon I stand is holy ground. This is the activity of truth, the Word, constantly maintained in my consciousness. The Word of Truth is my secret place of the Most High. It leads me beside the still waters. If I make my bed in hell, it is there. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it is there. And it, this it, is the divinity of my consciousness. It is that I within me that makes me the offspring of God and not of man. It is that within me which recognizes that I was not born of a woman. The I that I am is an infinite divine consciousness that formed this body for its own use as a vehicle for carrying out God's purpose on earth. Give up as fast as you can the personal sense of existence. There's an order. It's not a request, it's an order. Give up as fast as you can the personal sense of existence. Stop believing I cannot do this, or my understanding is not sufficient for this, or it's too late at my stage of life, or I am too young to embark on this. When you say I, speak that word I as you would the word God. Then all things are possible unto you through the God being which you are. I can of mine own self do nothing. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Through Christ you can do all things. As the offspring of God, you are joint heir with Christ to all the heavenly riches. Therefore speak not as man, speak as Christ being, as the Son of God, or as God made manifest, as your own being. Keep this consciousness of truth. It is your responsibility to keep consciousness so imbued with this truth as to make of your consciousness a sure defense against the arguments of the world. And now remember this, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Stop looking for some good that the world giveth. Right here, right now, stop looking for some good that the world has to give you, whether it be fame or fortune. Turn within, be willing to accept the grace and the peace that God has, that spiritual peace. And then stand to one side and behold what it does for you out in this world. My peace I give unto you. Absolutely fabulous. And now let's have a meditation. God. Closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, God is. Now, this God is closer than my own breathing. Right here, in the midst of me, I, in the midst of me, am God. The harmony of my being is closer than my own breath. Be still and know this God within me leadeth me beside the still waters. God. Omnipresence. Son, behold what manner of love the Father has, that we should be called the Son of God. I feel that originally it was not sons of God, because there's only one Son. And so I feel originally it was that we should be called the Son of God. That's a lot of love. All the harmony that you could ever experience, all the peace, all the abundance, all the life. Stop looking for a change out here. There are a number of people right now that are writing and saying, I need you to keep praying because there's no change. That alerts me that you're looking for change. So you're looking to flip this bad coin over so that it can become a good coin. All of that, the bad and the good, are illusion. Stop working on that. Stop looking at that. Come within. Go way down deep here into the center of your being. And invite God consciousness to flow. I of myself can do nothing. But I with Christ can do all things. Be still. Find your inner peace. I am here. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. But what is life? We are told, I am the life. And so we're back to this I. It seems to keep coming back over and over again. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If I could wish something for all of you, I would wish that you find the center of your being. Find the still waters. Find the green pastures. Find your own divine consciousness within. Heaven is not a place. Heaven is your own consciousness when it is missing love, hate, fear of the world or anything in it, of yourself or anything in you. Heaven is where is what you feel when you're no longer living a personal sense of self. So you don't practice principles to get into heaven. You practice principles to get out of self, a personal sense of self, and awaken to the fact that you are in heaven now. You were born in heaven. So you don't get into heaven. You awaken in heaven. I want to thank everyone for drawing the entire book, The Master Speaks, out of consciousness. Thank you ever so much. We're going to take a week or two off, and then I'll see what I feel inspired to do next. It's wonderful to have an audience that listens. And so I thank you one and all. All right, let us be still for a moment. Let's see if there's anything else before we complete this talk. I was thinking earlier about your birth. You weren't born on Earth. Your birth was an immaculate conception. Within your consciousness, you were born. And so you are consciousness's son. You are the Son of God, because God is consciousness, your consciousness. And so you were immaculately conceived in consciousness. And that's the truth about you. That's the truth about me. That's the truth. I am the truth. That I that was immaculately conceived, that is the truth. It's springtime here in the mountains. All the blossoms and blooms are out. The daffodils are popping up. And it's a sure sign that we have come out of winter and into the warmth of springtime. Soon it will be Easter. My first spiritual teacher used to be somewhat sarcastic, and he would say, at this time of year, he would say, "Happy jelly beans." He knew as well as you do, as well as I do, that Easter was all about the Christ coming out of your tomb where you buried it. But he also knew that we'd like to get Easter baskets and that kind of thing, and he would say, "Happy jelly beans, Don." I love that man. I haven't seen him since 1979, I guess. I think that's the year he left Earth. But I still love him. And he knows it. All right. I can't think of anything else to say, so we'll call this a wrap. The Master Speaks by Joel S. Goldsmith. Please, if you do not understand one of the principles in one of the chapters, go back and listen again. That's the fun part of having these talks available. You can go back and listen again and again if needed, and put these principles in practice and make my day a joyful one to see you open up, to see your consciousness open up. All right. I love you. And farewell until we meet again here. You are the gem of God's mind. Just be what you are. Consciousness unfolding, truth unfolding, Christ unfolding. Thank you. Amen.